Well, I want to welcome you to today's Christmas broadcast. It's such a privilege for me to just speak to you on the day when we think of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it's awesome to know that God became man. He came and dwelt among us. He was called Emmanuel. He lived among us, and He is still living among us today in the form of His body, in the form of the Holy Spirit. And that was just a day of great joy, a day of great excitement. And I want to share with you a little bit along the lines of the joy and the peace that came through Jesus Christ. You know, last night we were just handing out some presents and just blessing each other. And Milena was just sharing with my three sons a little bit about the Lord Jesus. And what was so nice for me is when she asked the youngest boy, which is 5 years old now, she said to him, why do we have Christmas? And then he said, we are thinking of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He could come and die for our sins. And I just thought in my heart, man, what a thing to know. What a thing to have in your heart from such a young age. And that is exactly what God wants for all of us. That we today can think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can meditate upon His sacrifice, just have this special day all over the world. Now, there are many people that are just too religious when it comes to Christmas and the Christmas tree and all those type of things, especially in some charismatic circles. The people are scared to have a tree or to even celebrate Christmas because it was not really the day when the Lord Jesus Christ was born and all those type of things. Man, let me put it this way. I thank God for the 25th of December, which the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is celebrated all over the world. Now, some people have just over-commercialized the thing. It became a money-making thing. But it doesn't matter. People all over the world, whenever Christmas comes, the name of Jesus is just resounding all over the world. In Muslim homes, everywhere, people are saying, you know, the Christians think that their Savior was born today. And if that is what they think, you know, let them think that we are just dishing out presents and we're just resting or having a holiday. Maybe one day when that Muslim person or that person that's never heard the name of Jesus or somebody preaching to him, and that was the only time when he heard about it was over Christmas Day, he can, in maybe the time when he dies or when he is in great need, call on the Savior of the Christians, which is Jesus, and he can also be saved. And isn't that wonderful? God has got a wonderful way of spreading His name, the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So let's not be too religious about this day. Let's just rejoice and thank God for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you might say, Bertie, but it's not in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but in His death and resurrection that all the joy is. Well, we're going to have a look at Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 8. And we're going to see the joy that there was in the heavens because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it implied and it was the birth of the Savior, the Messiah. Amen. And Jesus Christ is there to bring you peace, is there to bring you joy. And I just believe in this day, all you can do and all that is supposed to be in your mind is God is well pleased with you. Amen. You know, that's one thing that just comes to my mind, and I've sent it, an SMS to people as well. There's one thing in my mind when we come to Christmas Day, and it is, God is well pleased with me. Hallelujah. And He is well pleased with you as well, because He came for all men. Now, let's read there from verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were very afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, this is good tidings of great joy. This great joy and this good tidings is unto all people. It shall be unto all people. Hallelujah. So if you are listening to this today, I've got good news for you. This good tidings of great joy is for all people, and it includes you. So when it comes to Jesus, there's great joy. Not just joy on earth, but joy in the heart of God concerning you. There's good tidings of great joy. And so many times we think that good tidings of great joy is There's a good tiding. I must now be happy so that God can be pleased with me. Now, that is not what it says. There's a good tiding. There's great joy in heaven. There's great joy in the heart of God when He is thinking of you because of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, so many times, and this is what happens here. The angel appeared. The people were actually afraid. That's what it says. They were sore afraid, or they were very afraid. And then the angel says, don't be afraid. And that's exactly what the gospel message is about. When God appears, when God comes onto the scene, when you hear the word God, when you hear the word Jesus Christ, it's supposed to take away all your fear. Amen, man. That's what God has got for you. He loves you. He cares for you. And it is so, what Jesus Christ brought is so opposite to the law, to the message of condemnation, to the message of there's no joy in heaven, and you need to please God and get Him happy through what you do. Now, that's not what the Bible teaches. Let's read it again there. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Isn't that just the word of God? Fear not. Now, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. So why does the angel say to the people, fear not? It's because there is a perfect love in the heart of the Father towards those shepherds. And those shepherds weren't people that were even believing in the name of Jesus or anything like that. They were just tending to their flocks at night. They were trying to keep thieves and wolves and anything that wants to eat the animals or steal the animals away. That was all that was in their minds. And the angels appeared to them and said to them that there is glad tidings or good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Man, isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. If people can just hear the message today that says there is glad tidings of great joy towards all people, I believe so much more, and many people will start to just believe on the name of Jesus, open their hearts for the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Man, why I say this, I just want to say this. This is in my heart. What a privilege to be preaching the gospel today. What a privilege to be sharing the message of God's grace today. Hallelujah. It's just so awesome to do that. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Now that is so, so powerful. That was just exactly the manifestation of what the angel said. The angel said, listen, there is glad tidings of great joy. And what happened then? The heavenly hosts just burst into this natural world and they manifested the great joy that there is in the heavens towards all men and for all men because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, isn't that powerful? The heavens was flooded with joy because of the birth of Jesus. And that joy was because there is peace now between God and man, and there's goodwill towards men. Now, that word goodwill, the Greek meaning for goodwill is a good reputation. Now, that is so, so powerful. The Bible says that there is peace on earth, not peace among men. It doesn't talk about peace between countries. That's not what it talks about. When it comes, the whole thing here speaks of the relationship that God has with man. Now, the relationship that God has with man, according to the law, was not a relationship where man qualified, where man was standing in good reputation with God. Man stood guilty before God. God made an awesome plan, which was a mystery, which was then revealed unto the Apostle Paul and the other 12, and written in the Bible to us so that we can understand it as well. This mystery was Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born, that day, the angel came to the shepherds and said, there is glad tidings of great joy. There is good news for you of great joy. What great joy? The great joy in heaven. I mean, the shepherds didn't have great joy when the angel appeared. God had great joy because He could see man all his sins punished in Jesus Christ. He could see the Savior being born, God incarnated into human flesh. He could see that. He could see people forgiven. He could see people righteous. You know, so many times we think that, and people think it's been preached that God wants to find fault with you. God just wants that wrong thing in your life, and He wants to sort out that one wrong thing in your life. That's not God's perspective. God's perspective about you is, and God's vision for man is to see them sinless. And when Jesus was born, the Father, the heavenly hosts, all the angels were so happy that they couldn't keep it in them. And a multitude, that's what it says here, verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, I mean, here they burst into the natural world, they praise God, and they said, glory to God in the highest. Now that is to God, glory to God, because of this awesome plan that is done, because of what is happened in Jesus. Now what is the effect of that on the earth? Peace on earth. Now what is peace? Peace on earth means it means just one thing, that God is not angry with man anymore. There can be peace on earth now. Now this whole thing is spiritual. What is between God and man? On earth, with God, there's now peace because of the birth of Jesus Christ. He's called the Prince of Peace. He's the one that brought peace. Now, the best definition for peace is, it's the emotion that's in the heart of a person when he knows all his debts are paid. Hallelujah. Now, the Greek meaning for the word peace is the word prosperity. Go to the Strong's, look up the word peace, and you will find the meaning of the word peace is prosperity. And I asked God, why do you use the word prosperity? Why does peace mean prosperity? And what came to my mind and to my heart is that it is the emotion. Peace is the emotion that comes into you when you prosper and all your debts are paid and you don't owe anybody anything. Now we can have peace with God. Isn't that wonderful? There's peace in our hearts between us and God. Why? Because we don't owe God anything anymore concerning works righteousness. All the deeds that had to be, all the high standard that had to be lived up to was done by Jesus on our behalf. And now we have got peace. We are not indebted to God in any way. Hallelujah. All that we can do is believe on Him and receive the gift of life that He has given unto us. Now, I've preached a lot about the love of God in the last 8 weeks in Web Church, and we've got an archive that I would like you to get into. Get into the archive Sunday services under Web Church on the main page of the website. And the last Sunday, what is today? Well, the Sunday just passed now. You can just go and check from Wednesday what the in the archive, what I ministered there on the love of God. Man, it's awesome. God's love towards you is because He sees you in Jesus. Your love towards God is seeing your relationship with Him in Jesus. That's you loving God. And you loving your neighbor is seeing your neighbor in Jesus. Hallelujah. Love revolves all around Jesus and what God has done for you. Now remember, there is peace between you and God because you are not indebted to God. Your sins has been paid for. You've been rendered righteous. You've been made righteous by Jesus. You must remember one thing. It's not your sin that made you a sinner. It was the sin of Adam that made you a sinner. Now, if your deeds could not make you righteous and the deeds of another man could make you unrighteous, your deeds will, you will be made righteous by the deeds of another man, which is Jesus Christ. So you are not made unrighteous by your deeds, and you are not made righteous by your deeds. We've been made unrighteous by the deeds of Adam, and we are made righteous by the deeds of Jesus Christ, and that manifests in our lives through faith. Man, that is so powerful. That's why it's so important, even on Christmas Day, especially on Christmas Day, just to think of the finished work of Jesus Christ, that He was born, that my peace is in Him. My peace is not in my works. You know, the Bible doesn't say, and Bertie was born, and now God has got peace. It's not because you were born that God has got peace with you. It's because of the birth of Jesus Christ that God has got peace with you, and that all your sins were blotted out, and that all the righteous things that need to be done was done on your behalf by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Man, that is so, so awesome. It says goodwill towards men. That word goodwill, I think I said it now, is the word good reputation. Now, God has got a good reputation written under your name. Now, good reputation means that you've done things right over a long period of time. You've got a reputation for doing certain things. Now, when Jesus was born, all of man received a good reputation, and the moment they believe it, that reputation is reckoned to them. It manifests in them. So what happens here? You can come to a place where you can say, if I stand before God, I've got a good reputation. I don't stand before God as just the sinner and I'm just not forgiven. No. The good works that Jesus has done when He walked the planet, the righteous thoughts that He was thinking, the good attitude that He had in His heart, the right way of meditation, pleasing the Father in just the right way, all of that is reckoned to you. It's imputed unto you. So that you now have a good reputation. So that God has got goodwill towards you. Amen. That word goodwill in Afrikaans, it says welbehaag. It is the same word that is used when Jesus came out of the water and the Spirit came upon Him and a voice came from heaven that says, "This is my Son." I'm just going to translate like this. It's not the right translation, but for you to understand, in whom or towards whom I've got a good will. That's it. In whom I'm well pleased. That's the same word there. Now, peace on earth and God being well pleased with man because of Jesus Christ. That's what the heavenly host said. A multitude of them, not just one that could have been misled, a multitude of heavenly hosts said, because of the birth of Jesus Christ, that you are not indebted anymore to God because of the wrong things you've done, and that all the righteousness of God has been imputed unto you. Now, I want to just add something to this. And because of all of that, we have received the Holy Spirit, which changed our nature into the very nature of God, so that we are not just seen as righteous, but that we became righteous, and we are now born of God, born again because of the finished work of Jesus. Man, that is so, so awesome. I want us to go to John 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. Then we're going to go to Isaiah and Hebrews as well. Hallelujah. It says, "Peace I leave with you." Now, the reason why I want to read this is when Jesus came, peace came to the earth. But when Jesus left, peace didn't leave us. It says here, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So what Jesus is saying, He says, "Peace I leave with you." Now, peace is the emotion that's in the heart of man that you are not indebted anymore. He says, and then He says, "My peace I leave with you." Let me read it again. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." So what does God give unto us? The peace of Jesus Christ. The peace that there is between the Father and the Son. The peace that Jesus had because He could write, He could say, and you can read that in John 14, 15, 16, where He says, "I do everything that my Father tells me. I am the Father is pleased with me because whatsoever I see that I do." Now, He had peace between Him and the Father. Then He says, "Peace I leave with you." So when Jesus left the planet, He left us peace as well. It's not that He left and He left with His peace, and because He's now gone from the planet, we don't have peace anymore. We today can have the peace of Jesus. That's what it says. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." You must realize, you can never have the peace of Jesus Christ by your own works or by your obedience. What you can have is the peace of Jesus by faith and receiving it as a gift, being willing to see yourself the way God sees you. Amen. Joy came into heaven because of the birth of Jesus. So why can't joy come into your heart Because of the birth of Jesus. Why can't joy come into your heart? Because Jesus rendered you righteous. He made you righteous. Hallelujah. So let us have joy in Jesus and not joy in our good works or our bad works. Hallelujah. You know, when the disciples were casting out the devils, they came back very happy because the demons were subject to them in the name of Jesus. Then Jesus said, don't rejoice for that, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Because your names, I want to put this in my own words, are written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you are righteous before God because of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So many times we want to be happy for the good works that we've done. I mean, this last week, we've just seen so many SMSs of people coming in, healings, miracles, signs and wonders all the time. Now, I thank God that the people were healed. But what brings great joy to me is that I am seen as righteous before God because of what Jesus has done and not because of my own works. Man, that is just, whew, that is peace. That gives great joy into the heart of a person. Hallelujah. You know, I just want to say this. You know, somebody sent me an SMS this morning and said, listen, I just found out that I'm HIV positive. Please pray for me. Now, I mean, that is not a nice Christmas present to find out that you're HIV positive on the 25th of December. And a lot of pain and aches in his body. So we're going to pray for that person today as well. And we know that even if he's got HIV AIDS, that God is well pleased with him. Now you might say, Bathy, that sounds so wrong. But man, we can just read it again. Let's read it again. Luke chapter 2. Verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Hallelujah. So this person has got HIV AIDS today. I mean, in this last week, I think I received 5 or 6 SMSs where people asked me, pray for me, I'm HIV positive. So, I mean, God, there's peace in the heart of God towards that person. That person qualifies for healing. And there is goodwill towards men. That man has got a good reputation. He's a believer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He believes in Jesus, but he's still got HIV AIDS. So he can also receive his healing because there's goodwill towards him. There's a good reputation written behind the name of that man. And that lady, I mean, there was a lady that sent an SMS, she and her son has got HIV AIDS. There's a good reputation, a good deeds written behind the name of the people who's got HIV AIDS. Now that's just so wrong in the minds of human beings. But that is exactly the way it is. And from that perspective, God moves. From that perspective, God lives towards us. And He lives in the power of heaven, the power of God. And He manifests that towards people and towards us. You know, so many times we think this is just a theory. It's not just a theory. It is the truth. Anything else is but a theory. But this is the truth, God's holy truth, and nothing but that. Man, I thank God for sending Jesus. Amen. You know, when you understand the gospel, the word Jesus becomes beautiful to you. The name Jesus brings peace. The name Jesus just brings such a joy, such a calm feeling, peace into my heart, because I know I can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He is my Holy Maker, if I can put it in those words. He's the one that caused peace between me and the Father. He's the one that I have received His reputation. Man, isn't that powerful? That is what I have received, His peace. The peace that Jesus has today, where He is seated at the right hand of the Father, knowing that He has done everything right and not one thing wrong, knowing that the Father is well pleased with Him, knowing that He's got a good reputation with the Father, and that peace, that emotion that comes, that's in the heart of Jesus, He has given as a gift unto us. Now, you will never have that peace unless you can receive it as a gift. Amen. Unless you can say, my God, I humble myself before your finished work. I humble myself before the work of Jesus Christ. I have got peace today. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, that is so, so powerful. Let's go to Isaiah 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Hallelujah. It says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Now listen to this. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Now, I've studied that out. It actually means butter and honey will he eat until he knows, until the time comes when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. So now, what I want to get out of this is that this child could choose the good and refuse the evil. Now, that's the whole thing about Jesus Christ. We must realize that He became a human being so that He could choose good and refuse evil. It wasn't as if Jesus was born and then when He was a baby, Mary was holding Him in her arms, and it was actually, you think I'm a baby, but actually I'm holding you. It's not the truth. He was a baby. When He was 3 years of age, He didn't know everything. I want to just say this. When He was 30 years of age, He didn't know everything. There was things that Jesus didn't know, because He was just a normal human being. There was even a place in the Bible where Jesus asked certain questions to the Pharisees and to His disciples to see what they would answer, because He didn't know what they would answer, because He was just a normal human being. We must realize that Jesus, I think in the New Testament it's mentioned 10 or 11 times, I'm not sure, He's more referred to as the Son of Man than the Son of God. He was called the Son of Man. And that's the whole thing about the redemptive work of Jesus. He became a human being. He had to choose good and refuse evil. That's what He had to do. It wasn't as if He was just good and only good could happen or could come from Him, and He just automatically chose everything that was good. No, He came on behalf of you and me. And until a certain time, I believe about 12 years of age, if you read the Message translation, says 12 years of age, if you read that the same scripture there, verse 14 and 15, in Isaiah 7, it actually speaks of 12 years of age when you can make a decision for good and bad. And that's exactly what was needed for us to receive salvation. Somebody had to come on our behalf and make a decision on our behalf. Jesus Christ chose that which was good. Man, isn't that powerful? And when Jesus refused to sin, we refused to sin. When Jesus chose to obey, we made a decision to obey in Him. Hallelujah. When Jesus chose to take the punishment for sin, we chose to take the punishment for our sins. When Jesus rose again, we rose again. Hallelujah. And whosoever believes that is saved. Man, isn't that just a simple, down-to-earth gospel? Now, you know, so many people might say, you know, Bertie, you're just a true evangelist because you're just preaching this simple message. Now, a teacher is supposed to teach this. Hallelujah. Maybe just give a little bit more scripture. Get more in-depth about this. But there's nothing more. So many times we think teaching is getting deep into some weird stuff and principles and things in the Old Testament that it's actually pointing to our works and what we must do to stand right before God. Now that's not a teacher, that's a false teacher. Somebody who teaches the gospel, somebody who teaches this message of grace, stands in the truth of what God has done. And it produces peace. Amen. This is what it says. And don't forget this. This is such an important scripture. Butter and honey shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou borest shall be forsaken of both the kings. So Jesus came to a point when he had to choose, he had to make a choice for what is good. And he made that choice on your behalf. You know, God doesn't just see you as righteous. Because he is a just God and he's a righteous God. It would be unjust for God to call you righteous if there's no substance or foundation for your righteousness. God doesn't just see you as righteous. You are righteous if you are in Jesus Christ because of the good that Jesus chose on your behalf. Man, isn't that so powerful? That is really, really powerful. You know, I've asked God a question. I said, God, why couldn't you just not forgive man? You know, just sit in heaven and say, well, Adam sinned, we just forgive him. People sinned, we just forgive them. Bertie sinned, Helena sinned, you've sinned. Why just not just say, well, they're forgiven, let's not think of it anymore. And as I studied the scripture, the answer came. There's a greater forgiveness in what God has done than just saying, I don't keep this against you. It's like somebody stealing. Somebody that's a thief and a liar. If he steals from me, I can forgive him. But it doesn't change who he is. If I have forgiven him, I say, well, I don't keep that against you anymore. But it doesn't change the fact that he's a thief. But when Jesus came, God, his forgiveness was deeper than just saying, I don't keep it against you anymore. What he was actually saying was, you don't have it anymore because you've done good now. You are righteous. I cannot keep anything against you because of Jesus. Now you might say, that's just so radical. You're just pushing this point so hard today. Man, I wish I can push it even harder. Hallelujah. Now let's just push it a bit harder there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Then my wife asked me, how long are you going to preach? I said, man, until it's finished. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he has made him, this is Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Man, isn't that powerful? You are forgiven, not because God decided not to keep it against you, but because all your sins are washed in the blood of Jesus and you have no sins anymore because it has been washed in Jesus. Hallelujah. But Bertie, can I do something wrong? Of course. And a wrong thing that you do is still a wrong thing, but the wrong thing that you've done has been washed away from you in the blood of Jesus. And the good thing that Jesus has done has been imputed to you and you are rendered righteous because he chose the good on your behalf. Hallelujah. That is the gospel, man. That is the good news. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to end off with this. Hebrews chapter 4. Sorry. Chapter 4. And verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy from this high priest which were touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He knows how it feels. He was touched by that. He knows exactly how it feels. He is our great high priest. He knows exactly what you are going through. And he aids you. He helps you. He gives you mercy. He gives you grace. I mean, come to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Let's just read from verse 30. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto his eyes of him whom we have to do. Now, what does it say? It says everything is naked and open before his eyes. He knows everything about you. There's nothing that he doesn't know. Why? For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When you are tempted, when you go through that hard time, it's naked and open before God, for he knows It is open before Him so that He can have mercy on you. That's why it says everything is open before Him. The way you feel, everything, He wants to have mercy on you. So come to the throne of grace. He became a human being. It was difficult for Him in certain situations to make certain choices. He sweated blood. He resisted sin to the point that He sweated blood on your behalf. Amen. He was tempted. When He was in the desert, He was tempted to prove Himself through works righteousness. He was tempted with that. I mean, that is one of the greatest temptations for man, to prove yourself by what you do and not to say, I am by what Jesus Christ has done for me. We always want to prove ourselves in business, in athletics, in sports, in whatever. We want to prove how good we are so that we can find our identity in what we do. But the thing that Jesus Christ brought was that we are what He is. We are what He has done on our behalf. Hallelujah. And everything, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto His eyes, and of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have this great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. Let's hold fast to our confession that it's all because of Him that we are saved. Because of Him we are righteous. Let's hold to that. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you this. God loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to receive the peace that there is in Jesus. That's what He wants for you. He wants you to have that emotion of righteousness. He wants you to rest in this finished work of Jesus Christ. Man, isn't that so, so powerful? And all that you can do is receive it. I want you to say these words. Just follow me these words. Say, I am righteous because of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that you became a human being. I want you to say that from your heart. You know, so many times we think these things, but we don't verbalize it. We don't say it. And sometimes we're ashamed to say this. We're just even ashamed to say it loud, private, at home. I want you to make use of this opportunity to say, thank you, Jesus, that I am righteous. I have no sins because it has been washed away. I have sinned before, but it is washed away. I am righteous because of Jesus. I receive the peace of God. You are not angry with me. I want you to say these words. Say, you are not angry with me. I've got a good reputation before the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. I would like us just to agree with the people that's sick today. You know, I'm thinking of the people in hospitals, the people that are in comas, the people that have just maybe last night made motor car accidents, that are really struggling, which is really going through a hard time. The poor that's got nothing today. People that are lying drunk in the streets, especially in South Africa, you know, drunk in the streets. Last night was just alcohol and all of that and violence. People that could have been stabbed with knives, murdered. People that's really waking up this morning with great, that's in great distress. And those people that, like the guy that sent the SMS, I'm HIV positive. Man, let's just pray for them and agree together. Father, I come in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody today that has got pain, everybody today that is not in this joy that we have, not in this peace, I want to bring them before You. Thank You that the people in this area where I live will hear the gospel through me. in this year to come. They need this good news. Empower me, my Lord. And I want to pray, empower the people that's listening to my voice to bring the gospel to the hurting people in their area. Because that's what it's all about. It's about Jesus. It's about this great gift, peace that is for free. People just need to hear it. I bring everybody with a broken heart before you, my Father. Because you are the one that mends hearts. You're the best person to bring peace to the heart of a broken soul. Thank you for restoring people today. In Jesus' mighty name. I bring healing to every person with HIV/AIDS that has SMS'd or asked for healing. People that pray, that maybe not sent to me, that are calling on your name, that has got a death sentence over them, over their heads. I bring healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Whew, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And every person that's listening to my voice, I speak the peace of God over you right now. Receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Man, isn't this awesome? You know, while I was praying, I just felt I want to rebroadcast this session tonight, 10 o'clock. We're going to rebroadcast this. You know, it's just after the day, after you've eaten the big meal you want to eat and you've had your nap and everything. We're just going to rebroadcast this because I just believe this is such an awesome message. We're also going to put this in the archive. I just feel the peace of God. Hallelujah. God is well pleased with me as I sit here today. Not because I preached, but because of Jesus. He's well pleased with you as well. I want you to remember our New Year's broadcast as well. 11 o'clock South African time, GMT plus 2. Just listen to what God has placed in my heart for the new year. And I've got such an idea. It's going to be towards evangelism and winning the lost and just the message of grace. So just don't forget that. Get people to watch that. If you've watched this and you want people just to hear this, just remind them tell them of the broadcast, the rebroadcast of this message tonight, 10 o'clock South African time, GMT plus 2. Amen. I thank you that you have listened to this message. I just believe that you will just stay blessed, stay in the grace of God. God loves you.